Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is
Babe. God,
we're back.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
You know, we would have been back. What? We would have been back sooner if someone posted our episode.
Hey, I did post the episode, but I posted it as a bonus for my Patreon supporters of Sexy Unique Podcast because...
You know where her loyalty lies.
Someone...
Listeners,
refused
viewers.
To record an entire episode and only recorded a 30-minute episode.
I had
which
to get
I
my
felt,
haircut.
Yeah, but I felt like that wasn't enough. And maybe
I don't think the readers would have cared that we...
Well,
would.
I think the readers are actually the listeners, and I think the listeners want more, not less. So
I think
maybe
they just want something at all. If they had gotten a 30-minute episode, like, I think they would have been, it's better than no episode. Am I right or am I right?
Do you know that Ryan doesn't even subscribe to this podcast?
I don't know how. I don't. I'm serious.
He has not subscribed or rated his
really,
own
podcast. We
have podcast.
Some really good new reviews.
What did
like,
they say?
We have like 85 reviews now. And
really?
And we have 225 star ratings.
Love that.
They're great. They're all amazing. They're so funny. There was this one that was like, I know Ryan loves reading the reviews and I'm sorry that it's not that funny. But then she like said something like, I'm a dried out husk version of myself. And I thought that was really funny. And I was like, no, honey, you're mistaken. I'm lolling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already lolling. I'm on board.
Our listeners are lollers.
They fucking get it.
They fucking get it.
And
you hung out with one of them.
Oh, I did. Okay, so let's talk about what we've been doing since we've been away.
Yeah.
I went to Key West. Mm-hmm. When I told people I was going to Key West, I got a lot of, what? I got a lot of, babe.
Well, you had a lot. Your
I got
journey,
a lot of, babe.
Your journey to getting
oh,
to even
it.
Key West was
forget
a,
it.
A full
I
babe.
I was full-blown psycho. So I'm really anxious, ambivalent person. I go back and forth all the time. So I booked like 3 trips before I booked Key West. I booked a trip to Cabo, and I'm talking about like booked. I'm talking about airfare, airport, like hotel, and then I just changed my mind. And so actually, I did book a trip to Cabo, canceled it.
What changed your mind about going to Cabo? I feel like that's when you made the gravest mistake.
I don't know. I don't know. I think because I thought that I would be getting bored. Oh, also, it was really expensive. The hotels were really expensive in Cabo.
Okay.
And it was like sort of like, I thought, okay, I want to spend that much money if I go to Europe. I don't want to go to Mexico because when you go to Cabo, you just stay at the resort. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you're not really getting a real experience. You're just getting margaritas poolside. And
yeah,
you
but
get
you
that
could get
anywhere.
An Airbnb or like a rent house.
Yeah. In Cabo?
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
That's you should have... Next time I urge you to employ me as your travel agent and let me show you the world.
So then I finally...
Ryan canceled Cabo.
I canceled Cabo.
He called me... He, like, called me from next door and was, like, after he had told me all about Cabo, and I was like, amazing, like, go to Cabo, live, laugh, love. And he's like, babe, I canceled Cabo. I can't take it. I just can't do it. And then he... And then embarked on,
Jonathan
like,
Jonathan was like, I'm out. Jonathan was like, I can't talk about this anymore. Leave me alone.
Jonathan just, and like, I just... sidebarred, and I was like, this is out of control. Like,
no, I know.
And we both were like, we're worried about him. And I was like, he needs to get it together.
I know. And he was like, I'm out. He's like, just send me the whatever, wherever we go, I don't fucking care. Just send me the whenever you book it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So then finally I landed on Key West of all fucking places. I don't know why.
You thought that Key West was like a gay paradise.
I thought it was like Provincetown, but Florida. And it wasn't. Let's just put it that way. It wasn't. I mean, I don't mean to talk shit because it is a
you
very
had fun.
Beautiful, charming. Well, I had fun. Not really. I didn't. I'm being honest.
Okay.
I did not have that much fun. We stayed in a really cute place and the weather was beautiful. We had Cuban coffee every day, which was amazing. Cuban coffee is fucking I mean, it's like crack. It's like Adderall. It's like insane. I don't know. I was in a weird headspace, I think, during the trip, and I was kind of anxious and just feeling weird. And then I also didn't really love the town of Key West, like at night. Like the nightlife was not what I expected it to be. Also, it's not as gay as people told me it was. There were 3 gay bars. There were like Trump t-shirts. Like,
yeah, it was Florida.
I know. So even like the most lib part of Florida is still fucking Florida.
Well, I don't know if Key West is like the most liberal part of Florida.
I don't know.
I'll bet Miami is pretty liberal. Yeah.
So, well, we went to Miami because we fucking, whatever. Anyway, but so.
Like, I feel like when you're on vacation and things aren't going your way, you completely babe.
Oh, I have a meltdown and I want to leave.
And then you want to leave and you don't even want to be there anymore. And you're just like done. You refuse. You go into a state of utter refusal. And
well, I always leave a vacation a day early. I can't remember a vacation which I actually stayed the full run. I love leaving a day early.
So you reschedule everything to leave
a day. Always, yeah. Honey, cancel everything, rescheduled 20 times. Like, literally, that's just who I am. I've always been that way.
Babe, that is like egregious.
It's fucking crazy. I know.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Do you feel like a hit of like dopamine when you do that? Kind of. Is it the spending?
Well, it's control is what it is. I don't like feeling out of control. But
it's also like a power move and a flex.
Yeah, but it's about control. I don't like... if I want to go, I want to go now. And I want, like, it's about getting the control back. I'm a control freak.
I know.
That's what I am.
But that seems financially unsustainable.
It's yeah.
It's like Christine said last night.
Christine.
Unsustainable.
Yeah, she was like, that's fucking weird. So anyway, I tried to leave on New Year's Eve. And they were like, we can't.
You called me and you were like, I was like, how is it? And you're like, it's fine. But like, I have to get out of here. Like, I'm going to leave tomorrow. I was like, you're going to leave on New Year's, like, you're going to leave one day early, like change your flight. I was like, that probably would cost like $700 to change the flight.
So
you're like, money is no object. I'm leaving Key West.
So anyway, okay. So I try to leave. We can't because it's a small airport. There are no flights available. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, fuck. And also, I was not really in a turn up space with Key West. I was really in a turn down space. So I didn't drink that much and I didn't get drunk. I didn't get really, like, I got drunk like probably one or two of the nights that we were there. And the best night I had, the highlight, was truly running into a babe listener.
Mm-hmm.
I was at my favorite neighborhood bar because, you know, I already had it.
Yeah.
After day two.
What was it?
You know me. I love just going to the same place every day.
Yeah.
It was this place called The Roost, and it was really cute. It was right by our hotel. It was, like, amazing cocktails. This amazing woman was the bartender / owner, and she was just, like, full of lols and, like, had some stuff to say, had a story
love.
Of where she came from. She was from Ireland. You know, it's whatever. Like, she gave me exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were there one night. Just, we would always get a nightcap there because we'd go to the gay bars. Everyone there, all the gay guys there looked like Charlize Theron and Monster. Like they were like, it was like not the one. Me and Jonathan, I think we're subconscious. Like searching for a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like we never spoke it to each other, but I think we both kind of
were cruising.
Like, oh, honey, we were cruising and we were losing because it was not.
I love you thinking that you've gone to like the chicest, sexiest place.
Oh, I know.
And
like
then,
this gay getaway. And
like,
it's just,
I don't understand how you got in your head that like that was going to be exactly what you wanted. Like,
I don't
the
know.
The thought process baffles me, but.
No, it was insane to be like, oh, instead of. Cabo,
instead of Mexico, where literally hot people go.
What the fuck was I thinking? I honestly,
I don't
like,
know, but I couldn't.
No, I was. It was like banana.
You had
banana
to be
split brains.
Yeah,
it was just crazy.
You had to be left
nuts.
To your own devices.
Yeah, I had to come to it on my own.
Yeah, it was never.
And I had to fly there to realize it was a mistake, which I often do.
But like, are you going to change this behavior in the future?
No.
Why?
I don't know. What do you mean change?
Well, are you going to like incorporate other people's decision making in the process and like go down like a lot of things so that you get what you want out of your vacation? Or are you going to make like,
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't really know how to vacation.
No, I do. I had a great time in Provincetown last summer.
Yeah.
I had so much fun that trip. I was like living, laughing, and loving. But
yeah.
Provincetown's different.
Provincetown is different.
Is my safe place. Provincetown is like utopian for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel truly like safe there. And
yeah.
I feel like it's my place. It's just great. It's a fucking special place. You liked Provincetown, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I wasn't in love with it,
right.
But I thought it was beautiful there.
Beautiful.
But like, I don't, I felt for me as a woman,
yeah,
who's straight, it's like truly,
who cares?
Like, say goodbye to your vagina for like a week if you're there. Like, people wouldn't even like look at me or like acknowledge my existence. And I'm really used to being acknowledged by by the world. And so Provincetown was not truly giving me what I needed.
Fair enough.
But I liked it. And I loved like the shows that we went to. Yeah. I thought they were so funny. It was great.
The shows in Key West were not great. We went to a drag show that was just like a true American Horror Story. It was sad. So anyway, smash cut. I'm at the Roost, which I immediately designate as like my safe space, and we're there every night. And we run into a girl. Is like, "Are you Ryan O'Connell?" And I'm like, "Yes." I immediately come alive.
Suddenly the vacation shifted.
Yeah, Jonathan just sees me. I'm like, "Ding ding 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 ding." I'm like, "Hello, nice to meet you."
God, you are the worst on this vacation.
I know.
I'm not having fun. I hate it here. This really blows. And then someone's like, "Are you Ryan O'Connell?" And you're like, "Why, yes, I am. How kind of you to ask."
You know, meanwhile, Jonathan's just like slowly cutting his wrist with like,
he's like, "Babe, can you have fun with me?" And you're like, "No."
I know. It was fucked up. So basically, we met with this girl, Alyssa, and her friend Megan, who... they're just the sweetest. They're just like lollers. And Megan is truly hilarious. And this girl, Alyssa, is an engineer, which I think is kind of chic.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Boston. She loved Key West. It was kind of like, I was trying to like get her to talk shit on it. And she was like, no.
She loved it there.
She loved it. She was like feet firmly planted on the ground. She was like
that.
Firmly pro Key West.
There's a reason it's so popular.
Is there?
Well, it seems to be there's love for Key West in the world.
It's true. I just couldn't.
You're just not relating.
Couldn't find it.
Anyways, go on.
We got drunk. It was so fun. And I like ate a cheesesteak before bed. I went got a Philly cheesesteak. It was delicious. It was truly like amazing. I remember the next day waking up and then being like, that was a good Philly cheesesteak.
Wow. What's a twist?
I know, right? It was yum, yum, yum. So then... Did someone say that they hate it when I say yum, yum, yum?
Did someone say that?
Yeah, someone wrote in the comments, they're like, when Ryan says like yum, 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 it feels like an assault.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Yum, it's yum, offensive.
Yum, 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 yum.
I too hate it. I stand with the listener.
It's true. Anyway, I'm sorry to trigger anyone with that. But anyway, so then getting home was a troll. True troll.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But in a weird way, it's funny. I babe out at nothing, but when it comes to like actually babe out, like in instances in which anyone would babe out, I actually get VV calm and don't babe out. It's very weird. So case in point, we get thrown off our flight from Key West because they're like, there's too many people. So the last six people that check in are kicked off. And I was like, well, that's not going to be us. And they're like, Jonathan Parks Ramage and Ryan O'Connell. And I was like, And we had to take a shuttle to Miami. The flight was canceled. We just couldn't get him. We were stranded in Miami.
Yeah.
And Jonathan was like melting down. Jonathan was like fucking freaking out. And I just like didn't care. Honestly, it's weird. Like when you get deeply trolled like that, you just have to lol.
No, when you have a deep troll, you can't do anything about it.
There's nothing I can do about it. It's like,
but also I feel like it's like part of your like control thing is like, if it's like a baby, like if you're swaddled in a troll, you can't do anything. So you're like calm.
It's truly like a surrender situation.
Like untethered and like the world can be your oyster, you're literally,
then I'm like overwhelmed,
a true and I have babe
too many options,
yeah,
and I don't know what to do.
I hate it, because
I had no choice. It was like, clearly we were going to Miami, we're gonna miss our flight, we had to stay in Miami,
and you just have to deal.
It's fine, we were gonna get reimbursed, we're gonna stay at a nice hotel, we're gonna have like a yummy dinner. It was our anniversary. I actually felt like it was kind of like I would have preferred that than like whatever.
I feel like that's the universe showing you how to like
just like relax,
like giving you that surrender. Day of vacation that you truly needed, where it's like, we're gonna have fun, go out, like I'm just gonna accept that this is where we are and this is what we're doing, instead of trying to be like stressing out about leaving early or like whatever.
Right. Totally.
It's an interesting
but twist. Jonathan was like, and also I think you and I do this too, and I think everyone probably does this, is that when one person is freaking out, you can't have two people freaking out.
No.
So Jonathan's freaking out, okay? And it's like, I can't do that. I can't join the choir freaking out. I have to be the calm one. I have to be like, babe, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was that person, because you just cannot have both people freaking out.
Yeah.
You cannot. It's just not productive. It's like, it's going to troll you so deeply. You have to be like the strong one. Someone has to be the strong one.
Yeah. I guess that's like a bonus of being in a relationship for some people.
But I mean, like you and I do that too. Like, we don't freak out at the same time.
No, but we also freak out. Well, like, if you freak out, no, I guess we don't, like, fully freak out at the same time. But we understand why the other person's freaking out.
Yeah. But, like, we don't add to the fire. Like, our instinct is to, like, put the fire out.
Yeah, and say, not, like, a positive spin and be, like, supportive.
Feed the flames, yeah. Yeah, because we can't.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
I'm glad that you had a good...
So now I'm happy to be back. It's also like you feel such guilt when you go on vacation and it's not what you want. You feel like Veruca Salt. You know, it's like, you're like, like, it's just like, it just doesn't... It's like vacations are so precious and there's so much money.
But I think like, that also comes down to the planning element where you need to like think through and not babe out while you're planning and then in a babe haze plan a vacation that is like truly not gonna
also just
you.
Like, don't go to Florida.
Yeah, like
Florida, just
go somewhere you want
to
go.
I went to Miami 4 years ago and I remember being like, this is, I don't like this place. It sucks.
I love that you're like, back to Florida I go. I know. You're like, Mexico, no. Mexico, easy, convenient, beautiful, like stunning people. No, 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 no. To Key West we go.
I know. I know. It's true.
It's a real...
I want to go to Cuba.
Okay.
All right, whatever.
I feel like you won't like Cuba, but what do I know?
I mean...
I'm only speaking because I've seen the episode of Kardashians where they go to Cuba.
They go to Cuba?
Yeah.
For what?
For fun.
To do what?
To like ride around in vintage cars and lol.
Oh, okay. Chic.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, go to Cuba.
I want to go to Sao Paulo and I want to go to Brazil.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Can we talk about something?
Sao Paulo's in Brazil. I'm sorry. I meant to say Buenos Aires.
Welcome to Ryan's Travel Podcast.
I know. We're all
where he talks about places he wants to go, goes there, and then shits on them. And realizes he never wanted to go on that
I know.
Vacation.
I'm sorry. Anyway, but I had a great time hanging out with Alyssa and Megan. And Megan, who didn't listen to the podcast, Megan was drunk, and she was just like, what are you talking about? She's like, who is this person? She was genuinely confused.
As to how Alyssa knew you?
Yeah, she was like, who is this person? But she lived in St. Augustine, and we called her the First Lady of St. Augustine. Because she was so iconic. She was.
I love that.
She was
yeah.
so funny.
Well, I'm glad it picked up.
Briefly.
Briefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was I hope you learn from the situation.
Yeah, exactly. but what did you do? You were in Oklahoma.
I went to Oklahoma for 9 days.
That is crazy.
Which is a crazy amount of time to go back.
Talk about it. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I had a 48-hour very dark period where I kind of like babed out on some family members and started a lot of drama. Well, I just, my family, Oklahoma is like so not, it's like so not me, but then so also is a huge part of me and my identity as like a human being is like growing up there and being from there. It's like my hometown, Oklahoma yeah. City. But like in the past, I've had problems with like feeling connected to that, like growing up there. And then also like just like family dramas and trolls that have left me like bitter to some extent. And now I'm kind of like, I've started to move through those and get to the other side where it's like, it's nice to go back. And I like value the time that I get to spend with my family members who I never see and like get to know them on like a new level and like operate from a place of like forgiveness about the past.
Rather
but
than
also,
operate from a place of babe.
Yeah. But then sometimes my place of babe creeps in. And one problem I do have like with my family members, and they know this now that I told them explicitly, but it was like a lot of them voted, most of them voted for Trump.
That's crazy.
And
that's
so,
nuts. Who voted for Trump? Your mom?
Mom, dad, brother.
Oh, fuck me.
So,
did anyone not vote for Trump? Sarah? She didn't vote.
I don't know if she voted. I don't know. But it's like the whole thing, it's triggering, but it's also like, it's hard to explain. Like, obviously, I was like infuriated by that. And like, I've kind of discussed it with my mom, but not really like with my dad or brother. And then we like, opened up a conversation. My dad likes to troll by like bringing up like a controversial topic and then just like lay it out at the dinner table for people to discuss and then like fight over. And
oh,
so
God.
I got baited into like a Trump discussion by my dad with my brother. And uh-huh. I just went off the rails and was like, well, Trump's a fucking racist. I was like, your vote supports racism. How do you feel? Like high five over your white supremacy. Like, and just like went off, and it was inappropriate. Like my family is
not
a family of, but my family is not a family of racists. They're not like white supremacists.
I know, but them voting, I mean, that's so
I know
dark.
But babe, like,
that's so dark.
But honey, I think that we have a perspective living in LA and being like coastal elites or whatever of like
change. Are we chained to the rhythm?
Yeah, we're chained to the rhythm. But also it's like, we don't, like, of course it's dark and like you and I would not vote for that. And like, it's like we're, but
people, why do they vote for that?
But people in a different part of the world and the country have like their own reasons. And it's like, it's such a device. What I learned from this troll meltdown where I basically accused my brother of being racist and he flipped out on me, told me to go fuck myself and that I was a bitch. And I was like kind of shocked, but I also was like, in retrospect, I was like, that was fucked up and really bitchy of me to say, because it's not as black and white as that.
But it's hard as a woman. It's like they voted for a man who openly admitted to sexually assaulting women. You're a woman. I mean, it's hard.
I know it's hard, loaded. But they didn't, but in their, like, they're voting for, I think, what they thought was like the lesser of two evils, or trying to do the right thing.
Are they happy with them now? Are they
like, no? And
okay,
like,
okay, that's good.
So, but it's just like, I don't, for me, in communicating with my family and in this situation, I just learned that being reactive in that way is not going to like make peace and like create a sense of trust with me and my family members.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Literally going in and being like, okay, great, you fucking racist, you misogynist assholes. Like, good thing you sided on the wrong side of history, Nazi. Like, just like laying into them and being like that cut and dry about it caused a lot more drama than it resolved. Like,
okay,
it was,
fair enough.
It ignited like a 48-hour period of like arguments with my mom. And like, it was
why
just,
did your mom vote for him?
Because she's a Republican. She like votes, she's not voting for like.
But he's not a Republican. He like defies party. Like, he's not, like, to me, Donald Trump is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's just Donald Trump. He like stands for himself. He represents himself.
Yeah, but
so it's like he doesn't represent any values whatsoever. That's the thing that I find so confusing to me. And I'm just like, he's not, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Does she still like him? Is she like, yay, Trump?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I just have to accept that like she and I are going to have different political beliefs, and like the best thing for me to do is either not talk about them, or like I just need to avoid getting like ragey over them, because it just causes more problems than it solves.
No, I get it.
And like that's the hard thing, is because like I don't have anyone in my life, like in my friend circle, that is like identifies as like a Republican or like a Trump supporter. And not that my family identifies as Trump supporters, but it's like, it's just a different perspective of me. And I truly get so enraged about it, but it's like, what does that really do at the end of the day? Like,
nothing.
What does like being outraged do at the end of the day? And that's something I kind of thought about, like, at
but
a larger scale.
But what's the alternative,
scale.
Though?
The alternative is, I guess, like having like a tempered conversation about it and saying like where you're coming from, or just accepting that not all people view things the same way as you do. And like, hopefully you communicate and build trust and like move into a different understanding. Like,
That's possible with your family? Like, do you think that there is a version in which you have a tempered conversation in which that both parties walk away from it feeling enlightened?
Maybe in the future. I mean, my brother and I really like sat down and talked about, like, had a tempered conversation and like heard each other and really communicated and like squashed our like drama or whatever. And I felt good about how we left that conversation. And like, I'm just over being like outrage and like outrage culture. It just doesn't, like, I don't think it really does anything for me personally.
You.
It's not like serving me to get like fucking furious at people. Like,
it doesn't. I mean, especially with family, I realized like when spending time with my own family, which was really hard this Christmas. And I've had one day where I just totally babed out my mom and just lost my shit at her because, you know, family, whatever.
Yeah.
And it did not do anything. It was just a nightmare. It like truly, like, it served nothing. But it's hard because the alternative for me is to truly just shut down and like and like leave my body, which I did.
Did that over Thanksgiving when I was like getting I was like triggered and trolled by everything everyone was saying I was just like, I'm not going to comment on this, blah blah blah. So it's like, where's the happy medium of being able to speak your truth and be like,
I really
disagree with this, without being like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, have you no idea what the fuck you've done? Like, because it's like my issues with it, with like anyone who voted for Trump, or it's like it goes deeper into like a personal history of sexual assault. Like, it has so many layers,
though.
And for everyone, but I'm just speaking like for me. And so it makes it complicated. But I just learned that like getting fucking.
Do they know that you were assaulted?
Yeah, my mom knows. I've talked to her about it.
Jake?
No, I haven't like explicitly like talked to them about that.
I mean, but honestly though, you saying that to them, it's like, it's really fucked up, but I feel like people cannot empathize with anything until they know someone that's close to them that has experienced something, and then they're forced to learn and be better. It's like a homophobe having a gay son, blah, blah, blah.
I know, but it's also complicated, like the way of like talking about, like, it's just a, it's a process. Like it's a process that I'm like midway going through. And it's not just like as easy as being like, okay, I'm gonna now tick off the list and tell every family member about this and like what it means to me. It's like, even when you do that, it's not necessarily like, oh, now that door, that box is ticked off, and like I told my mom and it's fine now. Like it's layered, and there's so many more conversations to have. And it's like, I think I was coming from a place too, especially with my mom, where it's like, I want it to be like, okay, you've heard my story and know my thing, and now you need to change like your entire perspective. And it's like, that's not necessarily the way it's going to play out. No. And so you have to like, it's just a long process. And from, and at the end of the day, I just realized like coming from a place of like anger and outrage with them is not effective communicating and is going to make things hellish for everyone involved. Yeah. So like, there, I just can't do that. I don't know what to do, but I don't.
Well, that's the thing. It's hard. It's like, it's, it really is always, I feel like with family, it's always damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like kind of like you're putting these constant situations where you're losing either way. It's like picking the lesser of the losing. I mean, it's weird. Like when I shut down and I just don't speak with my family, like
that doesn't feel good.
No,
but also getting ragey. But in a weird way,
though, it helps. I mean, honestly, like people always joke about like, you need wine to get through with your family. But like there was one night, because my family doesn't drink, and there was one night where, so I don't usually drink when I'm with them. I wait till I get home like a lady and then drink, and then drink my sorrows away. But there was one night where I was like, fuck it, I'm going to just actually drink with them at dinner. And it actually, truly, in a real way, helped.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding you. It was like all the anger, all the like weird shit just kind of washed away. And I was like drunk and I was like happy. And I was like, anyways, like it was just like fine. And I honestly felt like in that moment, I was like, this actually was like a productive use of drinking. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, this is like a positive thing. And like, whatever you need to do to get through it, like unscathed, like that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And it's just like a it's a process of figuring out, like, I don't, it's growing up and like going through shit with your parents and then like rehash, like, cause I feel like everyone has like a lot of reckoning to do. There comes a time of reckoning between you and your parents where you have to be like, okay, they fucked up like all this shit and like kind of fucked me up in some ways. Mm-hmm. And like that sucks and was unfair. And like, you have to like accept that and kind of like move on with your own life in whatever way mostly benefits you. Right. But like, if you want to have a relationship with your family, it's like, it's an always changing way of like figuring out what the best way to communicate is and like forgiveness.
Also,
and like,
though,
and it's, and sometimes it's not, sometimes you have to cut people out. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that like everyone has to like make nice with their families, but it's like, you have to figure, it's a, you have to figure out what your relationship is and what, how to get what you want out of a relationship with your family. And that's like kind of what I'm learning, is not like, I'm just going to sit back and do me and like, be like, you can come to me, assholes. And like, it's like, it takes two people to like forge something. And I don't want to be, I don't want to like get older and be like bitter at my parents. And like, cause like we're moving into now like this precious time of life where parents, like, parents can pass away. Like we are in our 30s. Like it is totally reasonable for like parents to get sick and die, which is like dark. And I'm sad to have to say it, but also that's like something that's really been on my mind and being like, how do I want to spend these, like these years? Like, do I want to be like fighting and like raging out at my family and like being like the babe I was when I was 15 to 17 years old? Or do I want to be like, find a new way and like forge, press forward?
My goal for family stuff is quality over quantity. Like for me, it's like I need to learn how to say no and create boundaries with them. Mm-hmm. So that when I do see them, I'm like the best I can be.
Yeah.
And I'm not completely destroyed. Like, you know what I mean? Like when my mom came, it was like just too much time.
Yeah.
Just too much time together. And it really, that's why I blew up. And it's like, I would rather just see her like literally twice for dinner, like the family, and then be okay with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. It's hard though. It's hard.
It's hard. Mine is like, I really enjoy going home, and I truly, I'm like, I went home and spent the entire time. Like, I did not see a friend. Like, I didn't go out for like drinks or like meet up with anyone. Like, I literally just go home to see my mom and dad and brother. And that's like all I care about.
Right.
And I like doing that. And I want to do it more, but it's just like, it's not something I've done in the past. In the past, I've just been like, oh, I'm going to go for a few days over Thanksgiving, a few days over Christmas or whatever, but I'm making like more an effort. And so it's like, there's just going to have to be changes and everything to get through it. But ultimately, I think it was good.
Good.
Aside from me accusing everyone of being a white supremacist.
Well, whatever.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
No, it's not like they're that, whatever. I'm very...
I know, I know.
I'm very anti. It's like, it's to me, he, to me, it's not like someone voted for Bush. It's not like someone voted for Reagan.
No, I know. It's divisive, so, but it also.
He's truly like a disgusting caricature of like an evil. He's like Mr. Burns. But
kind of, don't you think in a way, don't you think in a way though, like he wins when he makes people fight like that? When like, to me, like in retrospect, having some distance from the fight.
Sort of.
Looking back and saying like, but don't you think that. Who's like, who's getting the power out of that situation? You're not by freaking out.
The only way you can do that conversation is say, we disagree. Let's move on. I would rather just not even, I can't.
I know, but like by fighting, you just like feed into this like divisive thing. And so it doesn't go anywhere. So it's like how there just has to be like a different way of communicating other than like anger and outrage.
Yeah. Let me know when you find that.
I mean, look, it's constantly searching.
Let me know when you find that magic cure. Who fucking knows? Black magic.
I'm like Zoloft anyways. Oh, yeah. I had a really good...
What?
There was a really good, though, stepmom troll Jenny did to my dad.
What? Jenny!
Jenny! It was like I went over to my dad's house for dinner
one night. Did you get Botox while you were there?
Yeah, I got a little touch-up.
You look great.
Thank you.
I really like you with Botox.
Thank you, honey. I love it too. And I wanted to get like a laser treatment of some sort, but then Jenny was like, you really need to be here. Like you can't, cause I got Botox like on the last day and like get on a plane and go. And she's like, I can't do like a laser thing on you and then send you off into the world. Like I need to be monitored afterwards. Cause it's like you burn your face. Like I just want to burn my face off and have the underneath like glow. Baby skin glow.
I'm going to get the Goop InstaFacial that Dan was telling us about. Yeah. I'm going to buy that next.
Wait, do you have Hanicures?
I did them.
You did all of them?
Well, I gave one to Claire and Dini. Yeah. I know.
This is interesting.
My skin is sensitive.
You literally said to me, you came to me and said, I have the Hanicure facial. I can't wait to try it with you. I got some and we're just going to do it together. I'm so excited. And then this is what you did with the La Mer too.
I know.
You're trying to pit me against Claire and Dini.
Yeah, I know.
And guess what? It's not going to work.
Sisters, unity.
Sisters, unite. I hate men.
But babe, I'm telling you, my skin is too sensitive.
A Hanicure?
Yeah, it's a little too sensitive. I get sensy skin. I mean, we know the Vintner's daughter. Which by the way, we have emails, I guess, from people.
Oh my God. We got so many emails about
burned by
people
Vintner.
Have been burned. And we are Vintner's daughter truthers on this podcast. Truther because
I feel like no one's talking about it until now.
Literally everywhere you look.
What are the emails?
Okay. Let's get into those emails.
Because I want to hear about the stepmom troll too, but.
Okay. We'll come back to that. It's just a short. So I walked into my dad's house and. We're all just kind of hanging. We're getting ready to go to dinner because we go to this like insane fried chicken place that's like a 40-minute drive away, like in the country, honey. And so our friend Mike had picked me up to bring me over to my dad's house. And then we're just like chatting, my dad, Mike, and I with Jenny before we leave. And my dad's like being like grumpy to Jenny. Like I think they had been like fighting or arguing about something, but my dad is just like sometimes a dick to her. And so she's like, she needs to find ways to like take back the power. And she does it with like micro trolls. And it's really incredible.
Great. Oh, that's impressive.
So like he was being really grumpy and like rude. And like, and then she was like, we were talking about something. I was like, oh, Jenny, I like really want like lasering or like whatever. She does this other thing where she can like inject your like under your double chin, and then it like gets rid of your double chin.
That's what I
need. Your double chin explodes into a massive chin and then like sucks away. I don't know how it works, but
that's incredible.
It's incredible. And so we were talking about that. I was like, oh my God, like I want this, I want that. Like, what's this laser? And she's telling me about it. And then my dad starts like being grumpy, and she just goes up to him while he's like talking shit and just was like, oh, but you could just use a little bit, and like lifted his like neck flap up and like gave him like a hand facelift. And she was like, I think that would look nice. And then I was just dying. I was like, that is the truest.
What did Butch say?
He was just like, hmm.
Grumpy grump.
Butch. I know. But and my Jenny, I live for a Jenny micro troll.
I love that.
And so that was a good one.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. Powerful. So what are these Vintner daughter emails?
Okay. So our Vintner's daughter emails.
People, I guess, have been totally unsatisfied.
So we had an email from Sarah who said, in recovery from Vintner's daughter.
Oh.
I truly paused the pod to write to you. I too was lured into the luxe world of Vintner's daughter. And then I too was fucked by Vintner's daughter. It didn't cause me to break out, but I was hashtag blessed by a red rash and irritation all over my face, and I didn't see any sort of instant miracle elsewhere, so I sent it back from whence it came, would join a support group to discuss further. Wow. I don't believe in the VD hype, and actually, the best night serum...
I love that, by the way, VD.
I know, she said lol. yeah. The best night serum is what grandmas from time to time immemorial have used. Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair. The best day serum is SkinCeuticals C. Ferulic, and extremely costly if that's fun. I have many more opinions on skincare. I think Ryan should be using Clinique Moisture Surge product as a moisturizer instead of La Mer, if anyone cares.
Okay.
It won't clog pores, no zits, and is super hydrating. Clinique is not chic, but what can you do? yeah, so I actually agree with Sarah, because I used that Moisture Surge and I loved it.
Really?
It's like $40. It's like $40.
I'm using this moisturizer from my dermatologist that she gave me.
Yeah, and so, but when I went to get Botox, so I used to use the SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic, and Jenny makes one of her own. Like, she has her own line of products.
Is this moisturizer?
It's like vitamin C serum for like glow.
Oh, nice.
And so she gave me a bottle and it's amazing.
Really?
That's partially due to my glow now. And she gave me like a really good... It's like, yeah, I mean, you can try it.
What are you talking about?
I mean, it's like a thing that you would want to do every day.
Yeah, but okay.
But yeah, try it for a day.
I just want to see. God. What? If I get the Goop InstaFacial, we'll have to.
Well, we'll do that talk together. To me when you have the Goop InstaFacial, and then I'll see about giving you a hit of my CE.
Oh my God. Okay, what else have
you Alex said? Wrote us, and she said the subject was Vintner's daughter related angst. I write this with a truly heavy heart. I too fell down the skincare wormhole and purchased a $35 sample, as if paying $35 for a sample wasn't itself a troll, of the serum, and loved it. My skin glowed. I felt like I had finally found the one. I told all my friends. I even reviewed your podcast as the Vintner's Daughter of Podcasts. I went ahead and ordered a full bottle, and then everything changed. I started waking up with little whiteheads on my chin and nose area. I thought, no way it could be my beloved serum. I acted like a psycho girl who lashes out at all her friends for telling her boyfriend is cheating. No way it could be Vintner's fault. It had to be my dairy, gluten, and sugar-soaked diet, my subpar drugstore cleanser, the detergent I used to wash my pillowcase, anything but the serum. My brain had turned into goop. Long story short...
I didn't goop.
Wow. My brain had truly turned into goop. Long story short, it was the serum. I have found that if I use once every other day and night, I still get some glow, but less breakouts. Still don't feel the same after all this went down. Feel free to share with your listeners if you can spare them the same $180 turmoil.
Honestly, like, this needs to be out there.
Yeah.
This needs to be out there. You know, we're all about justice, me and Laura, and like, we care. We care.
We care about
you. We care a little too much.
Okay, so those were actually just, we only had two emails about Vintners, but two is enough. And
we're enough.
We are hashtag Vintners truthers.
We are.
Vintner slaughter is the hashtag. Vintner
slaughter. Hashtag Vintner slaughter. Wait, that's brilliant. Yes.
Vintner slaughter. Do not, and everywhere I look, literally on every list, it's like Goop, Net-a-Porter, Into the Gloss, like, violet code or violet gray violet or whatever gray,
violet
it's
gray.
Like Vintner's daughter, get it or die. And I'm telling you,
I think
you'll die if you get it.
Yeah, you'll die.
Okay, so that's like this week in Vintner's daughter truthering.
Wow. I love this.
Please
like,
write
I love
in.
This, like, Z storyline of like Vintner's.
I know. Please write in if you've experienced any trauma due to Vintner's daughter. We're compiling people for a class action lawsuit.
Oh my god, a lawsuit.
A lawsuit. This is
a class
our
action lawsuit. Oh my god, lol.
What else happened?
Oh, we're doing Dry January.
We're doing Dry January. I'm already trolled by it.
Why? Oh, I don't care. I'm actually having the time of my life.
Ryan, okay.
What?
Ryan, TBD if you'll go the full month.
I know.
Month,
I'll probably drink tonight.
You've never gone a month. You're probably going to drink tonight.
No, I won't drink tonight.
And Ryan always does this thing where he's like, oh my God, babe, I stopped drinking and I haven't drank in 4 days and I feel incredible. I've never felt better. I'm glowing. My skin has improved like tenfold and like things are looking up. And then he drinks like that night. Ryan like goes on what he thinks is like a booze cleanse, but it lasts no longer than like
5 or 6 days.
Yeah. It's like the longest has made.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We've been 6 days and that's
no,
like normal.
I gave up drinking for 3 weeks in the summer. I did that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. No, I know. My skin looked incredible, didn't it?
Yeah.
It looked really good.
It looked good. But yeah. Like 4 days is like, oh, it's a placebo. Like you're it's high nothing. Off your own supply.
I know. But I think actually I am going to do it. And I'll use this podcast to keep me accountable.
Yeah. Cause I'm doing.
It's not, it's weird. It's like not hard for me. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. I honestly don't, because when I do it the first few days, it's really not difficult. I'm not like sitting here being like, oh, I wish I could have a cocktail.
No, it's not the first few days. It's like the second to third week.
Yeah. But then it's like, then I'm out. And what happens, like I'll be out to dinner with a friend and then like, I'll just order a margarita.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I guess that's not that complicated, but I'm going to stay.
It's not. You just don't order it.
I'm going to stay dry the whole month because yeah. December was wet, honey. Mm-hmm. It was wet.
I'm doing a dry month. January, and then I have cut out dairy and bread, but I'm doing other things.
And I'm eating pizza tonight.
I'm trying. I know Ryan's trolling me. He's like, can you host tonight? Because we're having people over. And he's like, actually, can you host? And he's like, also, we're getting deep dish pizza. I'm like, you're an asshole.
Well, those are your
it's
choices.
It's actually really, it's those rude. Those are your choices. Because when Ryan went on a diet like 2 years ago when we lived together, or 3 years ago.
And by diet, you mean I just did not eat.
Ryan became anorexic for like four months. Yeah. And he would eat 2 times a day, once in like the afternoon he'd eat a wrap, and then the next time would be dinner and he'd eat a piece of chicken and some vegetables,
and I lost 30 pounds.
He would not eat anything other than that, and it was the rudest. It was so
hard,
fucked up,
you know,
and rude. And now great, I literally though. Am like, okay, so I'm cutting just like 3 things out for a month and like respect my journey, and he literally shits on it.
I know.
So.
It's true. I guess some, as one listener said, some would say I'm hypocritical.
Nothing gets past Ryan.
No, I know what you guys are writing.
So I went, when I got home, so part of my Christmas vacay was going through all my like old writings and
your
stuff.
Poems.
And I discovered a lot of poems, and I discovered a lot of like they're writings.
Not, they're not poems. They're musing, poems.
Musings.
Poems.
Well, I like to like, so my whole life I've like fallen in love with people, and when I fall in love I become like totally obsessed
my
with
whole life I've been falling in love with people. Okay, let's unpack that. The fuck, well, are you talking about?
Like I've had like great moments of like I've had moments of great obsession with like a handful of people, and I'm starting to realize through going back on like my writing about them that obsession plays out mostly in my head and on paper, but rarely do I tell someone that I truly am obsessed with them.
Oh, my little shy girl.
I'm a shy girl. So I was just like lolling hard.
What do you get?
Okay. So I'll talk about, cause I want to read more of the like writings, but I'll talk about this one guy that I was like obsessed with in my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
And his name is Andrew. And we started I don't know how, I think, we started talking on AIM, like how everyone like started talking back then. But we like started talking on Instant Messenger. He was a senior at my high school when I was a freshman. And we would talk on Instant Messenger all the time. And then eventually it turned into like talking on the phone. And we'd like have like late night phone conversations. And I was like obsessed. Like we loved like the same music. We loved Dave Matthews Band. Talked about that all the time. We loved like Train. Like there were certain Train songs that we would really like connect. No, not Drops of Jupiter. It was Meet Virginia, I think we like really and like
never
got really like deep about. I love a Train love a lyrics.
Train. That's it was a B side, a Train B side.
Yeah. So you don't know that song, Meet Virginia?
No, babe. They had two songs, Hey Soul Sister, which by the way, Hey Soul Sister came out of nowhere. Was like that came out of recent. Nowhere. I know that was
that the was not in my Train era.
No, I know, but like it was crazy because they did Drops of Jupiter, and you're like, okay, well, bye, we'll never see you again. And then Hey Soul Sister,
did the wind sweep you off your feet? Did you finally get a chance to dance?
You really thought they were done. And then Hey Soul Sister came out and you're like, wait, what? Like, it's so like rare that a band has a second hit like that years later.
So Andrew and I talked on the phone a lot in my freshman year. Like in, I think maybe in the summer after eighth grade through like kind of fall of my freshman year. And then I was dating this other guy, like in the like fall winter of freshman year, and it was right, we dated for like 2 months and it was right before New Year's Eve. It was Y2K 1999.
Oh my God.
And so there was like in Oklahoma, people would have these like farm parties at like their parents had like a farmhouse or something. Like they'd just be like, we're going to the farm and like throw a huge rager, and then everyone would drive like out into like a fucking middle of nowhere to a farm and just like party.
Wow.
So there was some sort of like farm party, and I went with my boyfriend at the time, and I realized that like I did not want to date him anymore. I was like over it. And so I just broke up with him at the party, and then so I could make out with Andrew when the clock struck midnight. So I dumped Stuart, my boyfriend, and then went and found Andrew. And like right whenever it was so romantic, right when everyone was counting down, we like slipped outside and then had like an epic make out.
Where was Stuart?
He was like crying somewhere. It was sad. It was really harsh.
My God, Laura. It was what? Jesus.
It was just, it was a real babe.
At least you
moment.
Did a nice thing by like breaking up with him and not just cheating on him.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's nice. In retrospect, I think it's nice. At the time, it was like pretty savage because he still had to give me a ride home after the
thing. No. He gave you a ride home after you dumped him and made out with someone else?
I went with him and a friend, and they had to give
me
a ride
home. But he didn't know that you made out with that guy at midnight, right?
No, okay, but good. I just needed for my conscience to be clear to not be tethered to my ex. And so I dumped him, and then like Andrew and I slipped out, and then as like the clock struck midnight, we had like the most like romantic, like ferocious midnight makeout.
Where is he now?
I don't know where he is now. I think maybe in Oklahoma or maybe in like Texas or somewhere. I mean, I saw him like a few years ago, and he like we're friendly to each other and whatever, but like I don't know. I haven't been connected to him in a long time. So I became obsessed with him, and I wanted to be with him after that. And then there was this like really awful moment, like where he basically like it was me. I was having a sleepover at a friend's house, and he and a couple other guys came over to like hang out with us for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then like he and I were alone, and we like made out, and he told me that he couldn't date me because I was too young. And he was like, I want to, but I just can't, and I'm not going to.
Wow.
And he was like conflicted, but just like laid down the law, and I was devastated, like crying and everything. So when I decided I had a crush on him, I wrote him a letter, and I found the letter, which
so
makes me think
never
that
sent
I don't, I think I did give it to him, but then he gave it back to me, which is a true yikes.
That's a true troll.
But on the letter, I left it on his car, and on the front of it, it said, Andrew, you did an amazing job today, smiley face. I don't know what, like maybe a presentation in like chapel or something. Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe he played music. I can't remember. Letter says, Dear Andrew, I know that you want to know who I like. So I thought I would write you this note and tell you all about it. I guess I should start by telling you why I like this person. No. First of all, he makes me smile. Every time I think about him or talk to him or see him, I can't help but smile. He is one of the nicest people I have ever met. He understands things that other people don't, and he knows how to have great conversations. I can never get bored talking to him. Whenever I see him, I get that shortness of breath feeling, and it's the most amazing feeling because I'm so glad that I have it, but at the same time, I'm so afraid that it's going to all go away. I couldn't ever get up the courage to tell you in person, but the person that I like, the one that gives me that feeling, is you. I don't know the next time I'll get to talk to you, but I need to as soon as possible. But I just wanted you to know this. So I will talk to you later then. Good luck at SPC.
No. No. I loved the drama of it all.
So the drama.
The earnestness of it all. Mm-hmm. And then just like the mundaneness of like, okay, good luck at SPC.
Yeah, I was like dropping into that, saying something so like deep pretty much.
And but then also like, bye, okay, good luck at practice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so adolescence in a nutty shell.
Yeah, it was. And so then,
oh my God, I'm so,
once he didn't return, once like I think after the ball dropped or in midway through my session, I'd write like little paragraphs about him. And like, this was what I would kind of do with like a lot of guys that I liked. And so I would write, here's one of the paragraphs. Andrew is a pearl. This pearl has had time to sit and be cultivated and has been patient enough to let itself be shaped. It is the most beautiful pearl in the ocean. It has taken years to make this pearl what it is. Holding it in my hand, it is smooth with no flaws. A brilliant gleam comes off it. It is truly beautiful.
Andrew with the pearl earring. Wow. I love it, honey.
And then
my little artiste.
I know. Here's another.
Is that about Andrew?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Andrew is an ocean. I have waded in the shallow parts of this ocean. I have seen how deep the ocean is, and I long to get to swim in it and explore it.
Swim in it.
It is full of beautiful coral reefs and tropical fish.
How do you even know? You're in Oklahoma.
The colors are bountiful. There is a wide array. I don't know when I will be able to explore and reach the true depths of it. I don't think I will ever get the chance.
Well, you were right.
I was right.
You were right.
So yeah, that was like that was my obsession. And I found a lot more, which I can share on coming weeks of the podcast. But that was like, I was just discovering these little gems.
God, it's
just, oh my God.
What?
And then, oh, here's another one. I have decided that love is deceiving. And then I wrote out his full name. And then I wrote, love, deceiving.
No.
I was truly traumatized. God, you're like by the craft.
We're like, I bind you, Andrew.
I know.
You from doing harm to others.
I've decided that love is deceiving.
Oh my God. Honey.
The best too was that I would write, I found this like book of quotes.
Uh-huh. One of the quotes is a Dave Matthews Band. It's like, am I right side up? Or upside down?
That's been my favorite Dave Matthews Band song for literally
song.
Ever.
Is it number one crush?
Yeah.
I love
it.
It
is the most romantic song. Like, I would do that song as like a first dance at my wedding. Hope I can meet a bro that's into that.
I'm sure you can.
Okay, so I kept a book of saying, and here are the sayings in it. I wrote down three and then gave up on it.
I love the intention and the complete just bailing. Yeah. Right?
One was, do you know what the best way to make a dream come true? You wake up.
Oh.
Said by Vincent from Excess Baggage.
Oh. No.
Really?
The oft-forgotten Alicia Silverstone movie that basically ruined her career.
Yeah, no, I was really moved by that.
That is hilarious.
So much so that I took a quote from it and wrote it in my quote book.
That is so fucking funny.
Then, oh, here's a good one. There's no such thing as too late. That's why they invented death. Charles Gordon from Out to Sea.
Oh, what the fuck are you talking? Who's that?
Like another little known like comedy movie, I think.
Oh my God.
And then here's my final quote before I gave up on my quote book. Men are jerks, dead or alive. Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You watched Buffy?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved Buffy.
Yeah.
Buffy
was
great.
Obsessed with Buffy.
Wow.
So yeah, I just, and there was so much of this stuff, but it was cool to be at home and like look back through your writings.
Yeah.
You start to realize, like, you start to kind of see your identity, like how you formed your identity, and like it so still informs like who I am today and like how I feel and mm-hmm. like my sensibilities. And I realized too that I am a poet.
You are a
and
poet.
I'm a deep person.
You know it.
And I know it.
And you know it.
So it's exciting.
That is exciting. I'm happy for you.
Thanks, honey. Let's talk about some highs and lows of 2017.
We already did on the episode that
no,
you
we didn't.
Yeah,
we talked
did.
About 2015 and 2016.
I'm pretty sure we talked about 2017.
No, we didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you losing energy?
No, I'm fine. I'm right here. I am present.
Okay. You're just laying down and starting to get a glazed look in your eye.
Well,
it's from not being able to talk for too long. Ryan needs the spotlight back on him, honey. He's like, wow, that's so amazing. Oh my God, incredible. Oh my God, I'm so good for you. So happy for
babe,
you. And then I love
I'm
it.
It's like a robot. I'm like, honey, babe.
Yeah.
Troll.
His hand, one hand is in his pants. He's horizontal on the couch and just is like over it. So I just wanted to check in and see if you're still with
I'm
us.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm back. Oh my God, he's alive.
I'm back.
He's come alive.
She's alive. All right. Let's go. What is this? What are we doing now? Oh,
highs and lows.
Okay, sure.
Well, are yours? I wrote a list.
I don't really know. I mean,
how do you like cut it? Because we didn't do, and I guess I can, I'll release that 30-minute episode as like a supplement content to this, but it's not a fully, it's not a fully formed journey.
I think it's fine.
Anyways.
So, okay, 2017. I don't know. What I do that's, I worked a lot. Oh, Provincetown was a huge highlight for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Getting Will and Grace was great. I don't know.
That was it.
I don't know. This year's been going by really fast. I've been in a writer's room for literally the entire year.
You've been working a ton.
Yeah. So I feel like I haven't even been present for 2017 that much because I've just been working. But it's been good. I had a lot of anxiety problems over the summer that kind of like lingered a little bit.
And that was a low.
That was a low. that was a dip it low. Yeah, that was low. That was low. And that was, that was hard. So there's been hard. I mean, it's weird. It's like, I feel like as you get older, this sounds stupid, but it feels like things just get better and better and harder simultaneously. So it feels like things are going great, but they're also kind of, they're attached to these harder moments.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of seem to go hand in hand. It feels like you can't have one without the other.
It's a yin yang.
It's a total yin yang. So, I'm happy that it's over. And I hope 2018 is going to be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have like a weirdly positive feeling about 2018.
That's good.
Yeah. Sure. Like I felt like really energized by it and not in a way that was like manic, like not in a way that's like, oh my God, this
like
is the year. Everything fucking changes and like going crazy. It's just like, okay, like I'm excited for this year and like excited to like do my thing.
Totally. So what were your...
I made a list.
Oh, okay.
Because I like to go back and I love a list and I live for a
she
list.
She loves a list.
And I like to go back and remember like what I was doing all year and like just highs
what
and
were
lows.
You doing this year?
A lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it helps put the year into perspective. Because I think a lot of the time I would get frustrated and be like, oh my God, years go by and I like don't know what's happening. And like, it's a good way to check in with yourself and like see if you liked like where you were at and if you liked what you were doing or if you didn't. And then like you get to that I've done it for 3 years in a row, you start to see how things change.
I want next year for me to do things other than work. I realized this year was just all work and then my emotional state was kind of not great. So I think for 2018, I don't believe in resolutions or anything like that, but I want to volunteer at the LGBT Center and I kind of want to just carve out more of a life for myself because I realize that I don't have a lot of hobbies other than writing and being with friends and like going to yummy dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I just kind of want to diversify my interests and kind of find other things.
I love that.
So we'll see.
So my best... Should I just read the whole thing?
Yeah, just read the
whole
thing.
I feel nervous now.
No, just read the whole thing.
Okay, the best things. Riverdale.
Disagree.
Good Time.
I don't know what that is.
Molly's Game.
No.
I loved that.
I didn't like Molly's Game.
Going to Japan.
Chic.
Riding bikes around Kyoto.
Why not?
Starting Sexy Unique Podcast.
Love.
Starting Babe.
Yes.
Launching the Patreon for Sup.
All right.
Camping in the High Sierras.
TBD.
Jenna and Andy, two of my friends, got married and I officiated their wedding. Which,
cute.
FYI, listeners, I officiate weddings if you're in the market.
Oh my God, hilarious. You should make
I'm
money.
An ordained minister and I
you
will.
Are.
Yeah.
Reverend Laura,
Marie Shane Halls. Thank you very much. And I will come and officiate your wedding for a fee that we can discuss. We can work out the details. Going home for Thanksgiving, getting Botox,
sure.
Feeling more connected to my family,
all right.
Going on antidepressants.
Yes.
Skipping that one.
Wow. That is, you're so mushy. You are just still a teen girl over.
I am.
With Andrew. Okay.
Another, it was an Andrew adjacent moment.
Yeah.
Feeling supported by my friends.
Who? Who supported you?
Therapy.
Love.
The Grizzly Bear album coming out. That's being great. In the Losing All Sense music video.
Yes, great music
doing
video.
Doing a Dead & Company mini tour.
Confused by that.
Okay. Bobby Love.
Who's Bobby Love?
It's a random person. Oh, I know. Who that is. Yeah.
Bobby Love, yeah.
He's a babe, and I can get into we can tell a Bobby Love story more.
Yeah.
Buying a massive crystal in quartzite.
Waste of money.
Camping in Arizona.
Maybe.
Mountain View Saturday night, because I got super close to John Mayer and just like was on mushroom. Like the
John
perfect
Mayer?
Because he plays in Dead & Company.
Oh, right.
So I went to a show and got super close to the front and then was on the perfect mix.
Like close like a friend, but yeah.
No, not yet.
2018.
Mountain View Sunday night.
Great.
Provincetown.
Yes, there she is.
I did this workshop, Living with Intent, where I meditated and felt called to write a book and then didn't write it, which was on the worst list, is that I didn't follow through.
You were, the intent only went so far.
Working with you on Lawlers.
Oh, that was great. Too bad an RIP.
I had a date, a 24-hour date at the Parker, which was really fun. Riding electric bikes in Catalina. Sheep. Riding electric bikes across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Seeing my sister more.
Okay.
I had lunch with Emma Roberts. That was fun. I went on Reality Checked with Amy Phillips.
Oh, that was really fun.
We went to the Watch What Happens live taping in LA.
Oh, I remember that.
Jordan's birthday party was
what
a fun
was that?
Night.
Did I go that?
It was the Lyric Hyperion.
Oh, we that was really fun. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Job getting more job opportunities.
You're skipping
meeting.
Some.
I skipped a couple, just like relationship ones that are my personal info. Meeting Takashi and Setsuko in Japan, who were the Japanese deadheads of their store, and I wrote about them. Getting a handle on my tax drama.
Love that.
Shooting Healing with Heather, which is a web series that will come out this year. Doing Henry's Pen Pal program.
Ugh, love those cuties.
Went to a King Cruel concert.
Oh, nice.
Went to LCD Sound System, which was actually like really fun. I tripped acid for the first time.
All right.
Shot another web series, Savage Talks.
What's that?
It's with this woman, Amanda Savage, who's a comedian. I did an episode of her talk show. Uh-huh. Handmaid's Tale, Alias Grace, Glow, Mother, and Ryan Rupert moving back to LA.
Oh, our little cutie Ryan.
So that was all the best things.
Okay.
No.
I love that you included Mother on that, but anyway.
I loved Mother.
Wait, worst. Oh, God, your first.
Hangover at the YX. That was truly the top worst.
That was the worst, yeah.
Pump Podcast shutting down.
Yep.
I went through a breakup that was bad. I went into a depressive K-hole. I had to Airbnb my apartment a lot.
Did.
I watched The Girlfriend Experience. Didn't love it. I hated it, actually.
That's great. I love
dealing
that.
With my tax problems, throwing up out of an Uber,
right.
TBS passing on my show, The Sex Whisperer.
I'm just kidding.
Being a monster to my family for 2 days over Christmas, disassociating from reality thanks to depression and anxiety.
There's a
no,
smoothie.
Don't.
I know.
There was a specific smoothie that made
so
the list.
Egg.
Yeah.
It was not so smooth.
Having to quit therapy. My car slowly breaking down, being broke and scared, fighting with my sister and not talking for 2 months, feeling so sad on my birthday.
Really?
This big project I was on fell apart. Pitching Lawlers to non-Lawlers and having them pass. Feeling disconnected from certain people that I dated. Worrying about my brother. Missing my friend's show in New Orleans. I missed two friends' really good weddings. Or I missed two
friends.
I missed two really good,
good friends'
weddings. Which made me really sad. Sexual assault trauma being re-triggered by Weinstein stuff. Blowing off every deadline to write a pilot and book proposal.
By the way, you've been writing that the day I met you. You've been writing a pilot for 5 years.
I've been writing both a pilot and a book proposal for five years. But
no,
you know what?
A book proposal, no, you've been writing for like a year.
Yeah, for a year
for,
and
well,
a half.
Year and a half. Yeah, but a pilot you've been writing for five years.
I've been writing a pilot for 5 years and it, you know what? It's just my process. I just have to come to terms with that my process has been long and now I'm looking to change that.
Yeah.
We had an argument about Babe that...
Oh, right.
Was
yeah.
sad, but we got over it.
I did
a little too much K one night.
You were not okay.
And then the last thing was Sex and the City 3 being canceled was really, truly one of the worst possible
things. I know, especially
because
I know... from inside sources what the movie was going to be, and it was going to be really good.
Oh, yeah. What was it going to be about?
I don't know if I can say that.
Why?
Because.
It's like over now. Info.
No, it's like I can't say it.
Okay, well, you'll tell me offline. Yeah. I think you already did.
Yeah.
But when he told me, I was so devastated. And I still think like the plot 2017 was a year of like legitimately and literally fiery trolls from all angles. And Sex and the City 3 was like a one shining beacon of hope despite all the trolls that then got, we got the ultimate troll was no Sex in the City 3. And it's unfair. And I want justice.
I know. Justice for Sex and the City 3.
I know. Like, put kill off Samantha if that's what you have to do. Yeah. Bittner's Daughter and Sex and the City 3 are what we're seeking justice for.
We are a very political podcast. And
we're incredibly woke and political and well-informed. And we demand justice for Bittner's and Sex and the City 3. And I know I said I wasn't going to get outraged anymore, but I'm fucking furious.
I really feel like because the world is so fucking heavy and dark right now that I have been like losing myself in like meaningless k-holes, like with Skin. And there was actually an article about this that I read that this year people have been exerting control over like their skin because it gives them a set, like a
monitor. Yeah, you brought that up.
Oh, did I bring that up?
Yeah.
I also have Alzheimer's. I'm like, I love 2016. What?
I don't know. It was the year, actually, looking back on this past year, was not as bad as I kind of had thought it was. Because there were a lot of, like, there was, like, a lot of bad things that happened. But then when I realized and when I made the list and looked back, like, I cross-referenced with my Google Calendar just to kind of, trigger memories. And then I kind of thought, like, wow, I did a lot of things that I was really proud of this year and, like, grew in a lot of ways. And
I'm going to say that I did not have a great year. I did not have a great year, if I really think about it. But I accomplished a lot. Like,
yeah.
I wrote a fucking movie for a studio.
Mm-hmm.
I got Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote 8 episodes of special.
Mm-hmm.
I pitched a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just outlined a movie with Jonathan. So, yeah. I was fucking crazy busy.
Yeah.
Crazy busy.
You worked hard.
I worked really hard
this
year.
But you always work hard.
I always work hard.
You've never not worked hard.
But no, I have always worked hard. But this has been, like, I've worked hard and not had things come of it. But this was, like, you know, my first job writing a movie. Did that. Got my biggest TV job.
Yeah.
And wrote an entire series by myself, which was so hard without a writer's room. And I did it. I was so not thinking I could do it. And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finished it. So it really felt like, okay, great. And I did that while having a full-time job too.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I wrote.
I mean,
I've done a lot.
Career-wise, are killing it.
I know, but but personally, like, this was not the best year. I mean, my relationship with Jonathan was great, but my anxiety was so crazy and like it lasted for so long and I was feeling the lowest I've ever felt. So it really has made me kind of take a step back and be like, okay, like I need to do things differently to kind of manage my anxiety.
Yeah.
And so that's what this year is all about, because I don't ever really worry about my career. Of course I worry about it because I'm a TV writer and nothing's guaranteed, but I think that I will always have a work ethic and I will always be working.
Yeah.
And
that's not a problem.
That's not a problem.
That's not like a big red problem for you.
Yeah.
For me, it's a bit of a problem and that's what I'm working on. But like, it's at least you recognize it.
But I think I need to have, I want a fuller life. I want, I want more interests. I want more hobbies. I want to give back in a way that feels meaningful because I feel like just pouring all of your stuff into work, which I love. I love what I do. So it's not like an avoidance thing, but I think I just need some more texture.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was not fun. So
yeah, I want to know what your list is. I want to know if anyone else has a list that they want to share with me. If anyone else does this exercise, because I'm really obsessed with making lists.
Well, I can honestly say Provincetown was the highlight, and then my anxiety attack, which came like literally 2 weeks
after,
was the low light.
Yeah,
which lasted for like 4 months.
Yeah, so. I love a list. If you want to email me your list, send it. I'll read it.
Yeah, we'll read it.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Let us know if you want us to read it. Otherwise, like. You don't have to. You can just like send it because just know about people's lives.
Also, write us we'll let you know if you're babying.
We have a
new advice column.
We have a new advice portion of this podcast that's called "Is It Babe To ... And so this is where you, the listener, can write into us and ask if you're being a babe or like, is it babe to XYZ? So we have one submission.
Oh, great!
That I'll read. Okay. From Candy. Subject.
Wait, your name's Candy? I'm obsessed. I'm already on board. I'm hooked.
Candy writes, I'm hooked. Is it babe to lock yourself in your room and fall asleep at your own holiday party that you threw while a bunch of guests are dancing in your living room? My boyfriend took charge, but IDK if I babed out or not.
Why'd she do it? Was she drunk? I need more information.
I need more information.
I need more info. I can't discern.
I say that you can do whatever you want at your party. Like,
but it depends. Like, what was the reason why she did that?
Yeah.
Was
she too... Are you causing drama? Are you, like, freaking out? Are you doing it, is it for attention, or are you just tired?
Yeah, because if you're just tired, then no.
No, that's fine.
Then that's totally fine. But if you're like wasted,
if you're just
crazy,
over it, or if you're just too wasted and you know that you just want to be done.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Yeah, but like, we need more context clues.
We need more on. Oh yeah, hello. We're not mind readers.
Honey, our powers only extend so far. Try again, Candy.
Try again.
Like, shut up. Anyways. So yeah, what should we call it? Is it babe too, or should we call it am I babe? I like am I babe.
Babe or no babe.
Babe or no babe.
Yeah.
Babe or babe.
Yeah. Babe or babe.
Just ask us if you're babing, whatever. We'll tell you. Yeah. Some people also, have you noticed, Twitter comments have been like, what is a babe?
Have you seen those? Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, what is a babe?
A babe, like when you're babe, it means you're doing behavior that is questionable.
Yeah.
And you're acting concerned. Out, and people are concerned. Yeah. You're being a psycho.
Yeah.
That to me. And then a babe is like uplifting. It's like cool. Like you're getting your life.
You're empowered. Power. Yeah. You're like really thriving.
Yeah.
And then like babe with like a period is just like, I'm intervening on whatever this is. Or like your actions are just, it's not even like a question. It's just like a stop.
It's a statement.
Yeah. It's a statement.
Like the question has been answered.
Yeah. It's not good. No longer have to ask a question.
There's no confusion.
Like, yeah.
It's not really that great. Yeah. You don't want to be a babe, period.
Yeah. A babe period is like actually one step below the babe.
Stage.
Yeah, that's the last
stage. You can't go anywhere.
Where you have to change your behavior and get back to babe! Exclamation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because we all live, hopefully, in a babe place with some forays into babeville.
Yeah.
But to live in a state of babe is
dark.
Is dark.
Yeah.
And we just, but we know it happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
That ain't
what we've all lived there, so it's fine. But it's also not fine.
No, it's not. It's never okay. So let's talk about our babes of the week.
Oh, okay. Mine is this girl at my gym who is wearing a spiritual gangster t-shirt.
Ugh.
I have seen these pop up in LA and I have been silent. And it's, even though I see them and they remind me so much of these t-shirts that I had in high school that people wore called Jesus is my homeboy.
Oh, I had one of those.
Jesus, you had a Jesus. When was Jesus your fucking homeboy?
I had a Jesus is
when
my
was
homeboy.
When was Jesus your homeboy?
I was 19 years old. I was living in Oklahoma. It was right after I'd graduated from high school. And Jesus is my homeboy and Von Dutch were like the hottest things.
But
and
Jesus was not your homeboy.
I know, but I loved that shirt. I thought it was so clever and hilarious and cool. And I went out and bought a Jesus is my homeboy shirt.
So spiritual gangster to me is so gross. like I just see it and I like I just get goosebumps.
I
like my eyelashes fall off. I'm like a tooth just like falls into my lap.
Here's the deal with spiritual gangster.
It's fucking garbage.
When I first saw it,
you might as well just put a shirt that just says LA garbage.
When I first saw it, I was really into spiritual gangster. Like I almost bought. Yeah, like I almost bought.
A weird thing about like bad t-shirts. You
what
love
do you mean?
It's like you have like one that was like whiskey, vodka, tequila. Like
oh yeah, love. I did. That was like from like 5 years ago or six
That's
years ago.
Still too soon.
But I kind of like that it's so bad. Like it's I like so a bad shirt bad. Like that.
But babe, it's so bad that it's like you can't even reclaim it. That's how bad it is.
Like, I don't know. No, I think anything
you
can
can't
be reclaimed.
Wear a spiritual gangster shirt.
Well, not now, but like. I think you could.
The fuck does that even mean? Spiritual gangster.
I was just so like, intrigued and I was like, I need this.
You're a scary person who's spiritual? You're like a threatening person who's spiritual?
It's just like you're
I'm
like,
scared.
You're like, a fucking spiritual gangster. You're like a fucking powerhouse.
You're weaponizing your spirituality against me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
It's like, fuck off. Like, everything you say rolls off
if
my back because I'm
gym,
a spiritual
I hope
gangster.
That you sweat so hard that it causes the ink to smear and bleed and it ruins your fucking shirt.
I'm like I love a spiritual gangster moment. It's a true babe.
I will literally go home and light a Dipti candle for you because I'm genuinely concerned.
Well, because that my thought process when I first was exposed to spiritual gangster was that I saw it on like a clothing rack at like a hot Pilates studio and I was like, oh my God, this is everything. Like, I need this.
Is that a joke?
And I almost, like, I was just like intrigued. You know, with like the shirts that said like kale on them?
Yeah, but ew. Laura,
I know, but I God. Just, it speaks to just that part of me.
That is weird.
I didn't buy them.
That is a babe place.
Okay, well, I'm not into, I'm into more laughing about that and not shaming things that I like. Cause I think that that's a very like girl thing. Like, I think that women like that kind of stuff. Clearly, that's why they wear it to the fucking gym. And
but
like,
it's spiritual. Oh my God, it's just so
it
bad.
Was a two babe. And so when it's I looked bad. At those shirts and I had a moment of reckoning.
We should make babe shirts.
I know. I
should
had
we
a
do
moment.
That?
Yes. I had a moment of reckoning where I was like, do I get this shirt or is this like two babe?
Was this at Wanderlust or something?
I've had moments of reckoning there. I've had to really do a babe check-in with shirts, yeah. And I don't buy them anymore.
Good, because...
But I love that I love them. And, like, I will fully admit that, like, if I had unlimited financial resources, I would have a spiritual gangster shirt in my closet
That's
right now.
Sick. I'm literally, like, my teeth are chattering. It's like... It just dropped, like, 40 degrees in your apartment. I have, like, icicles, like, forming
You
on
have
my eyebrows.
Questionable fashion choices, too,
I do
though.
Not.
You definitely do.
What are you
do.
Talking about?
You've tried on some really unclear clothes that have been, like, avant-garde that I've had to truly yeah, troll you over.
I know, like, that sleeveless shirt.
Yeah. So, we all go there.
We all go there, but I try to go there less and less.
I would say, advise you to maybe stop being such a hypocrite.
That's one of our listeners said. One of our dear readers.
One of our readers. Tell the readers. So all spiritual right, gangsters are your babe of the week.
What is your babe?
My babe of the week is Tara Reid.
Oh,
she was,
really?
Yeah, well, she was just spotted.
What's
in.
She, doing
she was spotted in Mexico, I think, being on a beach. Yeah, she's... Tara's been in Mexico.
Fun in the sun.
Tara's thinner than ever.
Oh,
she's not looking good. Tara.
Oh, honey. Oh, my God.
Babe, Tara is... Oh, I'm concerned.
Wait, her boots. She's... Oh, my God.
Here's the deal.
Wait.
Tara.
I did not see that coming.
So
she just did a full reveal of her. Oh, my God. That is scary.
So Tara Reid was just spotted on the beach in Mexico. And I was looking at the pictures. I was like, oh, my God. She looks way too thin. Like, everything's bad. She's, like, on the beach. And then I scroll down to see that she's wearing short, sparkly UGG boots on the beach, which means
on the beach,
like she's cold. She's like too cold.
She's freezing cold
because she weighs 10 pounds and is now wearing sparkly Uggs on the beach, which is just true.
Oh no,
babe. So I'm concerned.
Oh my God, wearing sparkly Uggs on the beach while being too thin is definitely scary. And she wears a hoodie.
Yeah, she's been
wearing a hoodie, but also she's wearing a hoodie that she's not zipping up, so you can still see her body. So really, it provides no warmth whatsoever.
No. And then she's just like thin as a rail.
Oh God, she is so thin.
She's too thin. And then these...
Wait, she's drinking beer.
And okay, she's boozing.
She's boozing. Yeah. She's in paradise.
And then she's bent over and she's just like...
Oh no. She's... Yeah. Oh honey. Oh God. Oh God.
She's please. Not well.
Oh, it looks so sad. And she has these big boobs too. That makes it look weirder.
Yeah.
Know? These implant-y. Oh, wait, babe, her butt?
I know.
Oh...
Tara's in like a really fragile. Oh, I mean, she's
babe.
Been in a fragile place, but it's a babe.
She's
my babe of the week.
She looks like 80 pounds.
I know.
Not kidding you.
She's very anorexic, I think.
Well, yeah, no, it's definitely.
It just makes me sad, but the Uggs on the beach was a true moment where I knew that things were really, really wrong. Like a sparkly Ugg. Anytime you put Uggs on, it's like
it's
you should question
help.
Your...
Oh, come on. I have my slippers.
I know, but babe, I have like a pair of short black Uggs that I've been tempted to put on and it means something when
you wear...
What do you
mean, like outside the apartment?
Yeah. One time I was going through a really TBD period of like brain, like just like chemical imbalance, I think. And I put on my short black Uggs and I went to the Beverly Center and got a pumpkin spice latte and walked around the Beverly Center. And I knew that things were not okay.
When was this?
This is a couple years ago.
It's insane.
It was crazy. But And I wore a hoodie unzipped similar to the one that Tara's wearing and took myself to the Beverly Center. So I just know on a spiritual gangster level that Tara is not okay.
Oh, well, she's spiritually starving.
Yeah. So
sad.
She's my babe, and I hope that it gets better.
Yeah.
People have told me before when I lived in Chicago that I looked like Tara Reid.
No.
Thank you, but it was like a something that people said often.
Actually, when you're blonde, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I see it. Do I love it? No.
I see it, but
I see it, yes.
Choose to not see it.
Well,
all right, guys.
Well, I think that's it. Write us in. Oh, we also have a survey.
Oh, let us know if you want us to make you make babe shirts.
Oh, yeah. Like, tell us about babe merch, because we would love to make babe merch. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fun.
I'd love some babe merch.
I don't know how to do that, but we'll figure it out.
Guess what? I'll probably do it. I don't expect you to do it. Tell us if you want me to get the ball rolling on making merch, because I would totally be down to merch.
That's really funny. We'd do like babe question mark shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I love a merch opportunity.
Okay.
And then also we have a survey on our website, babepodcast.com, that you can take. And it's
Laura
like
just showed it to me today, because like people have taken it.
Yeah, people have taken it where we haven't even mentioned. And so, and it's good for us, like, as we move forward and grow the podcast, to like know what our demographic is. So if you're a listener and you want to weigh in and make your spirit known in a very real way, go to babepodcast.com, scroll down, and you will see a button that says take our listener survey, and you can take it for this podcast and my podcast if your heart desires, but you don't necessarily have to.
All right, well, the lady said it,
and we love you.
We love you. God love you.
And that is
God
it.
God love you.
Good night, my good darling. Night.
My darling.
My darling. My darling. Goodbye. Bye.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.